Welcome to the Homesteading Roller Coaster. My name is Ilaria, and in this podcast, I share my family's adventures on Tatum Hills Farm, our property on Ngunnawal Country, just outside of Canberra, Australia. We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognize the continuing connection to land, waters, and culture. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. In this podcast, we discuss anything to do with farm life, homesteading, sustainable living, growing your own, and much more. So let's get started. I'll be honest, I'm kind of freaking out today. So tomorrow is shearing day for our llamas. And we've had llamas for over 9 years now, because we had them straight away within 3 weeks of us arriving on our property. They got delivered. We had already bought them before we even moved to the property. So we've had them for a long time, and we feel like we're pretty well versed in the general keeping of llamas, but we have to this point chosen not to shear them. So tomorrow is shearing day, and today we're getting ready for the big event. We are just moving some pens around to make sure that they can all be safely contained while we wait for the shearer. And we've gathered all of our halters, because some of them are used to being halters, some of them were halter trained when they were younger, but they haven't been halter for years. But tomorrow we're going to see if we can halter them all, and that way they'll be easier and quicker to move around. So we got all of that organized. I am currently boiling some needles. I have some reusable livestock needles that I use for their vaccines. So while they're there being shorn and held together, I'm going to take advantage of that and vaccinate them as well for the yearly vaccine. And we're going to cut their nails, do everything while they're there. So then we're done for another year at least. So that's a big thing for us tomorrow. I'll let you know after the day how it's gone, or during. We'll see how we go. While we wait, I just wanted to share what we have learned in 9 years of llama ownership. Llamas, if you haven't, are not really familiar with them, a part of the camelid family. So the other common animals that belong to the same family are the camels, of course, and the alpacas, which are becoming increasingly a popular livestock for our hobby farmers. Now, we chose llamas over alpacas, mostly because they're usually a little bit nicer and more personable. Just like with humans, there are nice alpacas and not so nice llamas. But in general, llamas from the Incas time, from South America where they come from, were bred to be pack animals. So they had to work in close association with humans. And so they had to be reasonably friendly and able to put up with close proximity with humans. All camelids are not quite as friendly as, for example, our goats. Our goats are super friendly. They really sort of want to be with us, whereas the llamas will come and say hello and greet us. But some of them enjoy a little pat, but the majority of them kind of will come near you, but they won't really love a cuddle as such. They will put up with it, especially if you've handled them a lot from birth, which we have with a lot of them. But they don't seem to really love it as much as the goats do. I think part of it comes from the way they behave with each other. So a llama mum will actually never lick her baby. She will shelter them. She will obviously feed them and look after them and be very caring, but always in a non-contact way. And even the famous spitting that you might know about llamas and alpacas, it's a way they have to communicate with each other without really having any contact. So really the only time they have any contact with each other is really the mating time. And they can breed at any time. They don't really have a breeding season. Llama females are induced ovulators. So there is something in the llama sperm that makes the girl ovulate. So this is really handy if you're breeding them, because you can choose to breed them whenever you want, and they will breed at whatever time you put them together. Of course, the downside of that is that if you have both entire males and females on your property and they get together at the wrong time, again, they will breed at any time. So you've got to be a little bit careful there. But usually they're pretty calm, placid animals and pretty easy to manage. And that's actually why we chose them as our very first livestock. When we moved to our property, we were new to everything country. And so we chose llamas because we had met some, we'd fallen in love with them. They're very placid and calm animals. And they're also very easy on fences, unlike the goats. And so even though goats were always sort of in the back of my mind, we knew that our property really wasn't ready for them. And as came to be, even when we did get goats, our property still wasn't really ready for them. But certainly llamas and probably alpacas as well, though we don't have any direct experience with them. They make a lovely first livestock, a sort of beginner livestock. They're very hardy animals. They don't need an awful lot of husbandry. And like I said, they're very easy to contain and they don't require a lot of infrastructure. They tend to be pretty claustrophobic, so they don't really like a barn or a pen, though they can get used to it. So in our climate, which does get cold and does get below 0 degrees Celsius in winter, but not too severely. So where we are near Canberra in Ngunnawal country, we kind of range between probably about -8 in the winter to peaks of maybe 45 as a very top, a +45 Celsius in the summer, and that's quite rare. So that's quite a big range, but especially the cold is not extreme. They seem to not care because they have a huge coverage of fleece. We have lots of trees that they can go for shelter if it's either raining or if it's too cold or too hot. In winter, like I said, they don't seem to care. You'll go out in the morning and find them with frost on their backs, and they probably don't even know they have it because they have such a big coverage of fleece. And in summer, up until recently, we didn't really find them to be suffering too much. I mean, of course, if it is 45 degrees, everybody is suffering. We're all hot. But usually those kind of peaks only last for a day or two, and it will still go down to around 20 or below overnight. So you do get some respite. Now, we do have some dams, so some bodies of water, however small. A lot of people report that their llamas and alpacas actually wading into water to cool off. We've never seen ours do that, which probably means they're not really all that hot. They will, however, sit. We've got concrete watering troughs, so they do kind of sit next to them a little bit because obviously that's a bit of a cooler spot. But we have found that they just sort of seek the shade when they need to, go in the sun when they want to, and they seem to be coping just fine. The reason why we've chosen to this day not to shear them was, first of all, our really hot season is not very long for us. So it's starting to get hot now in November, and by March, it will be pretty cold again. By mid to end of March, we could potentially already start to see the first frost. Definitely in April, we will. So that's not a huge amount of time for them to regrow their fleece before it gets cold again. So that's always been a concern of mine. The other concern is that sometimes we do still get cold spells, especially at night at this time of the year. So this is quite late for shearing. Most people would have shorn in October, but our neighbors will be shearing their alpacas at the same time tomorrow. We've all chosen to do it at this time of the year because we are a little bit more certain that the weather will stay warm. But like I said, you can potentially get a cold spell. And in that case, they can get really cold. So then you need to rug them. Some of them will take a rug. You can just use pony rugs. Some of them will take them. Some of them won't be so agreeable. And so that's sort of another concern. And we found that they didn't seem to be too worried. They do get matted. And so normally what we would do about once a year, I would grab the ones that we have that have the longest fleece, and I would just hit them with a pair of scissors and just cut the dreadlocks off. And as I go, I try to feel under the fleece, make sure they don't have any humongous twigs or anything just trapped in the fleece where I can't see it that might be hurting them. And we always monitor them, you know, if they're scratching a lot, they might have something wrong with their skin underneath. But they certainly have seemed to be pretty contented as it was. In fact, Some of the ones we have are 7 years old and they've never been shorn, so they're in for a bit of a shock. Three of the ones we have are very senior and we bought them as adults already, so they would have been shorn at their previous place, but they certainly haven't been shorn for 9 years since we've had them here. Not properly, at least. They've just had a bit of a dreadlock control. So we'll see how we go tomorrow. The reason why we've chosen to do it this year is, first of all, because last year we had really record high temperatures, like I said, 45 degrees for several days in a row. So I felt that having them still full of fleece was a little bit too much. Also, this year we've just come out of a big drought and we've had quite a bit of rain, which has been fantastic. But of course, the downside from that is that we're expecting quite an explosion of parasites. So I figured if we were going to shear them, this year would be a good year because they're likely to be attacked by parasites due to the weather. So we've decided to do a plus. I just felt, it's been so long. I think they're probably due. So we booked a shearer in. He'll come. He's very well regarded and very experienced. So hopefully it'll all go well. And they'll be much skinnier and much more naked come tomorrow night. And I'll post pictures up on social media for you guys to have a look. You can find us at Tatum Hills Farm, Tatum Hills Farm, both on Facebook and Instagram. And you can have a bit of a laugh. So that's what's happening tomorrow. Aside from this, we found llamas to be really a lovely addition to the farm. They're a nice wow factor to everybody who comes. Remember, we run tours as well and parties, so that kind of helps to have that kind of animal. They're obviously really good at keeping our grass down. They're browsers, so as well as the grass, will also prune your bushes, which may or may not be a good thing. They're not severe browsers like the goats. So the goats will always eat all your bushes before they even look at the grass, whereas the llamas will eat quite a fair amount of grass. So they've been really great, together with the huge population of wild kangaroos that we have, at keeping the grass down at the moment. The llamas also have a number of eco-friendly features that we thought were really interesting when we got them. So first of all, they have soft padded feet. They don't have hooves. So their feet have got two toes with nails, each one nail each, and they have a soft pad underneath, which makes them very gentle as they walk around on the ground. They don't compact the ground like a horse or a cow would, so that's really helpful. And also the way their mouth works, they tend to just mow the grass for you as opposed to ripping it off. And they also love things like blackberry and other weeds that we have, which is always helpful in weed control. So those were reasons why we were attracted to llamas. And of course, another amazing thing that they do, they poo and wee in poo piles. So they will select an area in their paddock and they will go there and they'll poo and wee there. And that makes it so easy to then collect that manure and put it on your garden. And their manure is the perfect complete fertilizer. So you don't actually need to compost it first in order for it to go in your garden. You can put it straight in your garden. And my partner Damien has been using it to plant most of our trees and he's had great success with that. Other things that they need their nails trimmed. So the nails will grow forward and then if you leave them, they will go sideways. Now, the good news is because they're walking on the pads of their feet, which are fleshy bits, not on their nails, long nails don't really cripple them. So if you happen to not be able to catch one animal or you just get busy and you don't get to give them the pedicures they need, they don't get crippled like a horse would, for example. But it is a good idea to keep them trimmed. So usually every 6 months to a year, we tend to trim their nails. Now, if we're going to start shearing them, that'll get done then and they can probably go a whole year without it. You can use hoof trimmers, I think they're called. We just found secateurs from the garden work just fine. And we have found a method where we don't even lift their feet and that keeps them a lot calmer. We just put them in a small pen and then with our secateurs, we just go parallel to the ground. And just trim the tip of their nails, and that seems to work quite well. When there's grass, like at the moment, they don't really need to be fed much, but we have fed them a lot. They normally prefer loosen. Unlike horses and ponies, they can go on loosen full time. In fact, they won't really look at anything else. Llamas, you can give them a little bit of grain and a little bit of pelletized horse feed, but that tends to be a bit on the rich side, so it should really just be a treat. We just have them on loosened hay occasionally or as needed. You know, sometimes we have to feed them twice a day when there's nothing there. And also, we use loosened chaff and we use that for the kids who visit our tours to feed them. Now, because the llamas are so non-contact, they're really safe around children. They will not trample them, they will not hit them or anything. They'll go out of their way to stay away from the kids or to at least not have contact with them. So we calmly put the children in the paddock with the llamas with the bowls of food, and the llamas very calmly come and eat out of the bowls, and it's all very civilized. We would never put a bunch of kids in the paddock with our goats because they just get overexcited and things would certainly go wrong. So that's all. And in terms of fences, really, they're like the nicest animal. You can put one string and that will contain them. They can jump or go through fences if they really have to or if they're scared, but usually they don't bother, which, like I said, it makes them like for a very easy animal to keep. The handling, because they're so big, they're much bigger than the alpacas. They reach about 150 kilos and they can be easily 2 meters tall, the big boys. It is a bit, the handling can be a little bit cumbersome. So, definitely, if you're purchasing adult llamas, make sure they've been handled from birth. And if you have your own babies, make sure you handle them from birth. Make sure you put the halters on so that they get used to them. And I'm hoping that all the work I've done with these guys when they were younger is going to pay off tomorrow. We shall see. So I will now go and finish setting up for tomorrow, and I'll meet you back here after the fact. We totally survived. It is now the next day, and shearing is all done and dusted, very much dusted because it was a very dusty experience. The llamas, of course, have dust baths to get themselves clean. And so, 7 years for some since they were born, and 9 years for some since they moved to our property. That was a lot of time to be having dust baths without a change of coat. So they were really dusty, but everything went really well. The shearer came with a helper and they came over. They sedated them lightly. I was so impressed. The vets definitely would have a thing or two to learn from these guys who handle camelids day in and day out. They were super professional, super confident in the way they handle them. So they just went in, they injected them, and the sedation was great. It was just light enough so that they barely looked sedated, but they were just a little bit more compliant. So I was a little bit nervous, amongst other things, about the sedation because some of ours are really senior llamas, and I was concerned that they might have a bad reaction to the sedation. But thankfully, the sedation was really light, and all the handling was done calmly and efficiently, and so that worked really well. To be fair, we put a little bit of preparation as well. So, like I said yesterday, we were preparing pens. So, we have one stud llama. So, we made sure he had his own private pen because we certainly didn't want him to get together with the girls. And but the shearer actually came really early, so we hadn't penned anybody. So the shearers helped us pen them up, and some of them already had halters on from last night. And they have a really nice table that we could roll them onto, and then they got strapped in. And within, 3 or 4 minutes, everything was done for each llama. So the llama goes on and they get strapped, all stretched out with their legs also strapped so that they can't really move very much. It sounds really awful when you say it, which is why I had been concerned about shearing for many years. But really, once you see it, it's not that bad at all. It's done really quickly. And then because they're a little bit sedated and because they're so tied to the table, once they realize they've got no escape, they really tend to calm down. We did have a couple of them just carried on squealing for the whole time. But like I said, the whole thing literally takes 3 or 4 minutes. So even if they get really distressed, like some of us did, it's over very quickly. And to be honest, I don't know they were necessarily distressed. They were just really cranky. They weren't particularly traumatized. You know, within 2 minutes of being off the table, they were happily eating some bushes. So certainly no lasting trauma there that we can visibly tell. We had some vaccines at hand for them as well. So the way it went, it was the shearer and his assistant were there. My partner Damien and I were there. And Damien and the shearers put the llamas on the table. We all kind of jumped on them to keep them still until they were all strapped in, which literally took 5 seconds. Then the shearer would start to shear them on one side. While he was doing that, his assistant would trim all their nails. And at that point, I was holding their head because the table is a little bit small for llamas. It's mostly designed for alpacas. And so their head was kind of dangling down and didn't look so good. So we were holding their head to make sure they were as comfortable as they could be. And then after the nails were done, I would pass over the head to Damien. He would hold the head and I would quickly go around the back and plant a nice vaccine injection in their bottom, which was now very easy accessible because it was freshly shorn. And then we would turn them to the other side. The shearer would quickly shear the other side. And that was it. We'd roll them off the table and it was done. So the whole thing for 7 llamas took just over an hour. It was really, really well done. And the other thing I was really happy about was that their skin underneath looked fine. So even the shearers commented how well they all looked, both in good condition from a well-fed point of view, but not too fat, as well as their skin looking just fine. We found one really old one had one tiny little growth on his rump, possibly from an old injection site. That could be a tumor or it might just be a cyst. We probably will never know. It doesn't seem to bother him in the least and is so tiny. He's a very senior llama. I think he's about 15 or possibly even 17. I'll need to double check. And so chances are that even if it is a tumor, something that small, it's not going to bother him. He's likely to pass out away from something else like old age much sooner. So we weren't too concerned about that, but we will keep an eye on that one now that we can see it. But certainly everybody else had perfect skin all over. There were no parasites marks. There was no sore bits, nothing. It all looks really fantastic. So the take-home message for us is, while certainly maybe we should have done it a little bit earlier and maybe in the future we'll do it a little bit more often than every 9 years like we did this time, at the same time, the animals didn't seem to be any worse off from having had their fleece on for so long. Maybe they would have got a bit hot in summer, but certainly their skin didn't suffer. They seemed just fine. So we're not going to hurry and do it again next year, I don't think. We're probably going to give it at least another couple of years. So all in all, everything seems to have gone well. Everybody's now coming out of sedation. I just went out to double check on them. So far, so good. We'll certainly keep an extra eye on them for the next few days, if nothing else, because they will be feeling a bit weird. The weather is forecasted to warm up in the next few days, which is just what we want. Now that they're naked, we don't want any cold days. Today was quite cool, which, to be honest, it was nice for us humans since we had to spend time out in the open. But other than that, we think everything has gone well. So fingers crossed there won't be no ill effects from this experience and they'll be a little bit cooler come summer. And that's it for another episode of the Homesteading Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed the content, we'd love it if you subscribed. We'd also really appreciate a rating and review on your podcast platform. Or send us a message. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Tatum Hills Farm. That's T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm. Or on our website at www.tatumhillsfarm.com.au. Thank you for listening. Bye.